Welcome to AC23, the podcast of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge, where our mission is to foster the creative capacity and vibrancy of the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, and education. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Pam Bordelon, and in the studio with me this morning is Joe Carlton, a local actor, singer, and producer, fresh off a trip to the prestigious Cannes Film Festival. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
It's going good. So first off, tell me about Cannes.
Yeah, so Cannes, France, it's a funny thing because, you know, we're down in the south, so we have a funny little accent. People pronounce it a couple different ways. I call it, you know, Cannes.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic, cute little southern south of France city, and it, you know, every year it has this massive film festival that balloons the population. I heard that it was something like, you know, they have 30,000 people, and then when they're doing the film festival, it's like 120,000 people.
Yeah, so like more than double, huh?
Yeah, and it's just, it's a fantastic place. It's a great weather, cute little beach town, and so when you go there to do business, it makes it a lot less stressful when you got something nice to look at.
Absolutely.
You know? So yeah, that's Cannes, you know.
Okay, so what took you there?
Yeah, so I kind of, you know, mentioned it a couple times already, but the Cannes Film Festival, obviously, is the reason that I was there. It is the most prestigious film festival in the world. It's the biggest marketplace for films in the world, one of the most recognizable film festivals, and essentially, you know, we were there, myself and my business partners for Unoriginal Films, because we just shot our first feature film last December, and we were there to talk to distributors and talk to sales agents and do some business and try and get this movie sold to some of the big people.
All right, so tell us, the name of the movie is Beware the Box Folk. Tell us about the movie.
Yeah, so Beware the Box Folk is the name of the movie. We shot it in downtown Baton Rouge, and it's a crime thriller, you know, point and simple. And the great thing about Unoriginal Films is we take genre movies, so things that easily fit in a box, you know, westerns, crime thrillers, horror, these are all genre films, and we add some surrealist elements to the project to give it a nice, interesting, fresh spin.
Okay.
And so Beware the Box Folk is about a journalist that is investigating a political scandal in the middle of a trash strike, and he comes to find, as he's trying to find this missing congressman, that there are people living in the trash, and there's murder and suspense and action, and all this stuff culminates in a great twist that obviously I wouldn't give away.
Yeah,
you need to come see the movie.
Come see the movie.
Yeah.
So did you have some luck peddling it in Cannes? Did you have some takers or interest?
Yeah, so it's. I mean, this was just a couple weeks ago, so it's nothing we can talk about too soon just yet. But
yeah,
we had, you know, everybody we were showing the project to and pitching it to. I mean, the great thing is, you know, we would show them the trailer, because of course we're not going to sit there and watch the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, when we're in a business meeting, but we show them the trailer, talk to them about the concept, and everybody had really, was really engaged with it, and that was okay. Really great. And so we had some interest from some pretty sizable distribution companies, which is great. So we're in talks with them now, and hopefully by, you know, this fall we'll have it all locked in and signed away. So it's pretty great stuff. Yeah,
it's for somebody who just got out of college not too long ago. This is pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, the crazy thing was we made a feature film, and now we get to kind of put it out into the public, which is really cool as well.
You know,
getting to see it from start to finish is awesome.
Yeah. So what was your part in this project? What is your role with making this?
Yeah, so I had a couple different roles on this project. I produced Beware the Box Folk, and I also played the lead role, Red Watts, in the project too.
Okay, so you're the journalist.
That's right. Okay. I was the journalist. And so it was a glorious challenge to undertake because, you know, I'm doing all of the accounting and the bookkeeping and the scheduling and the hiring, and then I got to flip the brain and, you know, perform this role. Yeah. And even on set, it was down to, like, I would do this intense scene and then I'd just be like, okay, is lunch coming on time, you know?
Yeah. And using all sides of your brain here.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, truly. And I guess that's why, because I started in this industry as a creative, as an actor. And then it just naturally became this thing of, I've always, you know, ended up being some kind of administrator in some way. Like, even, you know, in college I was, you know, I ran a lot of the theater clubs and whatnot.
Okay.
And you know, I tend to always be the person that's like, oh yeah, well, if we want to go on a beach trip, we need to make sure we bring sunscreen and beach towels, and you know, like,
you're the organizer.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, but it's a fun dynamic getting to do both, because, you know, a lot of people are either, you know, one or the other, and it's nice to kind of do the administrative part, but then still have fun with it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So who else is part of Unoriginal Films?
And yeah, so that's a big question. in a more straightforward answer, there's four of us.
Okay.
That are, you know, kind of own the company and run the company. But Unoriginal Films is a lot more than just me and my business partners. There's a whole network of people that work on our projects and are involved creatively. To answer that more directly, Nathan Hall, Brendan Pyron, Michael Prince-Bouton, and I make up Unoriginal Films.
Okay.
Nathan and Brendan are the directors. Michael's the camera guy.
Okay.
And I do a lot of the producing as well.
Okay.
And we all kind of produce and run things, and, you know, but we kind of are, you know, when it comes down to the four of us, If it was just the four of us, we could still make a movie, you know. But the great thing is it's not. When we did Beware the Box Folk, we ballooned up to 40 people in total, cast and crew.
Okay.
And so that was a really cool thing, was just being able not only to make a movie, but to get so many people in the community involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a 100% Louisiana project. Like, everyone that worked on this project was from Louisiana, you know, and that was a really great thing. Or from Louisiana, or went to LSU and is in Louisiana now, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah. So did you meet your partners in crime at LSU? Is that how you guys met?
I did. My very first film project that I ever did was with these three guys.
Okay.
And we've been making... we've been making projects together since, 2016. So we've been doing it together for, eight years.
Yeah. Wow.
But this is, you know, we've making a lot of short films and a lot of other projects, commercials and things. And this is the first time we were like, all right, let's get in, you know, 80-page script and make a 90-minute movie or however you do. Yeah.
So, you graduated from LSU 5 years ago with a degree in acting and lighting design. So aside from working with box folks here, what has Joe been up to since he left LSU?
Yeah, so I like to say that I've done so many weird things.
That makes life interesting when you do that.
But so when I was lucky enough, right after graduation, I graduated on May 10th, and then I moved to Virginia on May 12th because I got a job as an apprentice at one of the longest-running regional theaters in the country, Barter Theater. And I was an apprentice there for a year, and then I was invited back to work as, you know, a company member at the theater. So I worked there for 2 years, and did something like 30, 40 plays in 2 years.
Wow.
It was a pressure cooker of acting, which was awesome. And then off of that, I moved to New York City, and this is where I started to do just about everything. You know, I did the classic, like, as a bartender at first, and then I managed a bar, which ironically came in the reverse order. I managed a bar before I'd ever bartended, which didn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, I was talking to the owner of the bar, and I was like, yeah, you know, and this is how, you know, organizing, da 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 da. And he was like, wow, you really know it? And then he's like, yeah, manage the bar. And that was one of my first jobs in New York City, was managing a bar, having never bartended before. And that's where I learned how to bartend. And then I bartended, and I worked as a lighting designer for an events company called Bentley Meeker. And I mean, I was designing lights on at the top of the Rockefeller Center, I think. Yeah, the Rainbow Room, or wherever the Rainbow Room is. That's where I was. And I was, you know, doing lights in Central Park and all over the place, and that was really cool experience and very strange experience, because, you know, million-dollar events, and I'm the lights. You know, I'm doing the lights for these events, and it was really cool. And living in New York was wild. And then eventually, you know, I was doing lights, which was like adjacent to the industry, and I was bartending, which was not adjacent to the industry.
In a way, I think bartending and waitressing isn't attached to the industry.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, when I talk about producing a movie and making a movie, everything is important down to the last detail of like how many snacks are on the table for the crew. You know? And when you have service industry experience, you have the perspective, of like, you know, at the very least, like, this is not beneath me. Like, I'm going to do my best to make even the food look good, you know, and if there's people that are working for you, you understand where they're coming from. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, how freak out over like the snacks not being correct. And it's like, well, take a second, recognize that like, this is hard work, you know, just because it's organizing snacks doesn't mean that they're not doing a million other things.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And I would think it's a good networking, because so many actors and people that want to break into the business do those service jobs. So it's a great way to network and meet people.
The majority of my coworkers were people in the industry, funnily enough. But I was doing that. And then eventually I was kind of like, well, you know, I need to get in the industry, not be adjacent to the industry, but I need to find my way back into my day job being the film industry. And so I started doing production work. And like I was just saying, like I'd be the person to get the coffee, to organize the snacks, to, you know, text people their schedules, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was doing this in New York City, and I was, you know, climbing the ladder slowly. And I was working for, you know, these big companies, Amazon, Netflix, ITV, which a lot of people in the States don't know, but it's like the big European, outlet, and BBC, and doing these crazy projects. I did a documentary with Serena Williams, and I was like with her and the family and for like 2 weeks as the US Open was going on, and you know, you get to meet all these like famous people, and I got a ton of this experience working on these projects in New York, to where it was just like, okay, this is how a set runs. You know, these are the things you don't think about when you're trying to make sure a set is running properly.
Yeah,
and one thing led to another, and I was talking to Nathan and Brendan, and, you know, I mean, we've been buds for, at this point, I mean, back then it was like 6 years, but it's been 8 years now.
Yeah.
We talk all the time, and we were talking about, you know, like, we've been making these projects for so long, like, when are we going to start betting on ourselves? When are we going to make the, make this company, like, not just an idea, but a reality? Yeah. And it worked out perfectly to where somebody was able to, like, take over my lease in New York, and I moved back to Baton Rouge because I was like, you know what? This is, everything is lining up in my life to just focus on this, you know, like, I had lived away from home for 4 years, and at that point I was like, I miss my mom, you know, I miss my grandma.
Yeah, I miss that good old Louisiana cooking.
Yeah, and you know, I looked down at what I had on my plate and all these new skills and experiences that I had developed, and it was like, everything over the last 4 years had built perfectly to make this feature film.
Okay.
So, yeah. And that, that's
so
how it brought
me. So when did you fall in love with film? Where,
oh,
I mean,
man. Yeah, toss it all the way back. I mean, I've always been an entertainer in some way. I mean, my mom loves telling the story of when my dad told me that my little brother was coming back from the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and we're only a year apart. So I was, you know, one or, you know, one and a half or something. He tells me that my brother's coming back from the hospital. I start dancing, you know, they always say I could like sing before I could talk, you know, all this kind of stuff, this, that, and the other. And so like, when did it start? I mean, geez, I don't know. but I know that when I was in high school, I was doing Shrek the Musical,
okay.
at U-High, and that's when I realized, like, oh, this, like, hobby that I've been doing, this performance hobby, isn't really a hobby, you know, it's something I want to do with my life, and up until that point, I was, like, convinced I was going to go to med school, and I even, like, started at LSU in microbiology, just because I was like, well, I can do both, you know.
The acting doctor. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually I realized, like, if I want to do this, I need to seriously commit to it. And so I've focused on studying acting. And the funny thing was that, like, for the large majority of my career, well, I guess that's what I used to say, but it's been a minute now, and it's no longer the majority of my career, but I started in theater. And initially it was all just acting. Like, it didn't really matter the format.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I studied acting, the more I did theater and film, the more I realized that, like, the medium of film is so vulnerable and so specific, and the camera captures every detail, you know? Mm-hmm. And the more I was acting, the more shows that I would do, the more I would see other actors and be like, oh, well, you're just kind of like faking it on stage. Not to rag on other actors. But there's an element of on stage, you're performing for the person in the back row.
Yeah.
You know? And for me,
that intimacy's,
yeah,
in your face,
yeah, exactly,
is not there that you get with the
camera.
When
you have this camera 2 inches from your face,
yeah,
it's just so exhilarating, and that's the thing. People like to say, you know, one is harder than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Film is harder than theater, or other way around, and they're not true. They're completely different beasts. It's totally a preference, and it just came, it just, for me, it comes to find that, like, film is so, pierces the soul and is so accessible. And that's what I love about it.
Okay. You mentioned using both sides of your brain. Mm-hmm. So I read somewhere that you're a Rubik's Cube master. So what's your time?
That's so funny. I wouldn't call myself a master, but I do love the Rubik's Cube. People solve this thing in 3 seconds. I can't do that. I think the fastest I've solved one is like 45 seconds,
okay,
which is still
pretty
fast.
Good. Yeah.
But I have like oh man, like 10 or 15 of them in my room, just like not all the same one, different varieties of them. But yeah, the solving puzzles is so fun, and I love the Rubik's Cube. I got to toss that in whenever you can. Yeah.
So when you're not making movies and solving Rubik's Cube, what does Joe do?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, it feels like the film industry is such a major part of my life that there's connecting tissue that always leads back to it in some way. But when I'm not making movies, I'm an accountant, which is super relevant to making movies.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a big outdoors person. I love going on hikes and swimming and bike rides and runs and stuff. And fitness is a huge thing for me. And like getting certified in things is a bit for whatever reason. I like taking tests. So like I have like a physical trainer license and all this stuff.
Okay.
And, you know, I love nature, and my friends are a really big part of my life. I've been fortunate enough to have two friends that I've known since daycare, and many friends that I've known since high school. And a lot of the times, you know, we'll all go on hikes together or do this kind of thing, and truly couldn't live my life without my friends, and it's nice to that's what I love about the culture of Louisiana so much.
Yeah.
Is there's such a higher sense of community here.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't realize that until you live somewhere else. But I mean, I moved away for the first time when I was 21 or 22,
mm-hmm.
and didn't realize how much I was missing the friends. And so it's great to be back and be surrounded by all this love and get to make art and be with my family. You know?
So Joe, tell us real quick, how can people keep track of what you're up to these days? What's your socials?
Instagram is the best way to do it. You can find me at _JLCARL. And you can find Unoriginal Films at Unoriginal Films on Instagram.
Okay. Thank you so very much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next week. We thank you for joining us this morning for AC23. You can catch replays on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Support for this programming comes from Shell, our generous donors and members. To help us continue programming like this, please consider joining the Arts Council or becoming a donor. Information can be found on our website, artsbr.org. That's artsbr.org.